Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we talk about the issues and discuss the issues of today that affects our very lives. This is your host today, Henry Hassan, and we're going to be talking about masculine and feminine. Masculine and feminine. We like to get started by ending up with a word from Allah, the Al-Fatiha. We say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin. I mean, you know, when we say Al-Fatiha, it is the most repeated verse, not just in the Quran, but it's amongst the Muslims, it's the most repeated verse around the whole world. So we love Al-Fatiha. And as I've heard many lectures and tafsirs on Al-Fatiha, and it still hasn't been exhausted. But today we're going to be talking about feminine and masculine. And to look at the word, starting off, to look at the word masculine and look at the word feminine. And the question is this, is there any superiority over masculine over feminine, or feminine over masculine? So we want to examine these words and let's look at them in a holistic way and see what we come up with. We know that in the society nowadays, we have a big problem with that word feminine and masculine. To when it's misunderstood, then we really get some different results from it that we do. And I think it's a word today that's mostly misunderstood. Well, first of all, we have to go back, and as we have said in the previous past on this program, that words make people. But we have to realize that words don't mean people. Human beings give meaning to words. And I think a lot of the time that's probably where some of the problem with words come in. But we have to kind of go back to their roots there. You know, the word masculine, well, we know that word is a word that human being came up with. And we can look at it on different levels. Basically, the three levels that that we want to look at would be on the physical level, which is the first the first stage that we should look at things. We look at it on the physical, but we can't just leave it with the physical. And I think this is where society gets stuck a lot, especially the masses of the people. We get stuck with just the physical level. We want to look at everything on the physical level, which is not a bad idea to look at it on the physical level, but then you got to progress from there. The next level that we would look at would be the rational level, or as some say, the thinking for the thinkers, the rational level. So then we got to look at these words from a rational standpoint. And then we go from there to a spiritual level, the spiritual level. And when we can conclude that the physical, the rational, and the spiritual all agree in the degree that we go into them, then we can develop a logic that makes sense. And words now can truly begin to make a person because you got the correct logic. Going down this path because I remember one Ramadan session, Imam Muhammad, he took time and he went down the same thing with what the Muslim called dhikr, the remembrance and the thinking of God. And he showed us, he said, we do dhikr there 33 times for saying that we say. But he says it's also permissible for us to do the dhikr 10 times. So he broke down the 10 times. And I want to establish this base because this is going to be important in our thinking when we're looking at words. And he took his finger and he took his thumb, if you can imagine, and he pointed it, put it to the bottom part of his smallest finger. You take your thumb, you put it to your smallest part of your finger. And he said, this is the physical level. And he went over it first. But he explained it later, so I'm kind of mixing it up here, but we should get the same understanding. He says the first level is the physical level. So he says you got physical of development. Then you move it over to the next finger from the small finger, And he says, this is physical rational. Physical rational. Then we move it over to the middle finger, which he said is physical spiritual. Physical spiritual. And he says, this same philosophy is done in science. He said, a lot of times when they're experimenting in science, they call this an hypothesis, that where you're trying to find a solution to a question or to an answer or to a disease or whatever the problem may be. You're trying to find a solution. And when you go down these steps, then if they all agree with one another, you should come up with a logic that makes sense. Now, we know we're living in a world today that is very illogical because these principles are not followed. But I want to continue here because there's another level, a couple more levels. So then he showed us that if you go up the little finger, come back and start with the small finger again, and you go up to the next level because if you see you got joints between these different fingers. So we did the first level. We go to the second level. That's called rational level. So when you look at the little finger, we said that was the physical. So now we got rational. We got the thinking on the rational physical level. So we go up a degree. Then we come to the next thing, which is the rational level. So now we have rational. So we got rational physical on the rational level, and we got rational on the rational level. Then we go to rational spiritual, and we know rational is the thinking on that. So we upgrade our thinking, and I'm laying this basis because this is going to have a lot to do with how we look at feminine and masculine. And then if all of those agree, then you develop a rational logic. So the next level, he says, is the spiritual level. So that's at the top. That's at the top of the thumb, the finger. So he says on that level, on that third level, then we have spiritual physical, looking at the physical from a spiritual level. So we got spiritual physical, then we have spiritual rational. And if you were are counting, then you'll find out that that's the 10. So we stop at physical, spiritual, physical, and then we do physical, rational, but there's no spiritual, spiritual. We won't need any of this type of logic in the spiritual, spiritual world in there. But that was something that he shared with us. And for those of you who may not have heard that, I thought this would be an interesting way to get started. So it tells us the different levels of communication, because communication is very important. And that's why we talk about words make people, but words don't mean people mean. Because it's very important for us to know what level we are communicating on. And then if we all get on the same level, then the logic will now begin to make sense to us. And a lot of times I find out in communicating, that's one of the problems we have with communication, is we may both be speaking of the same problem, but we speak on different levels, and instead of coming to an agreement, we come to a argument or debate over who's right on their level and who's wrong, and the both may be correct. So I just wanted to at least share that information with you. Now, our subject today is on masculine and feminine. We want to examine these two areas because we know in the Quran it talks in both the masculine and the feminine. And in the society that we live in, we know that we have a big problem with masculinity and femininity. Those are two big things. And then sometimes human beings get confused with both, and they try to maybe imitate both there. Which, when we examine the word there and examine their meaning, may not be a bad idea if it's when it's put into its proper order there, in there, because in our prayer, the Al-Fatiha that we just recited, we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the merciful benefactor, which is said to be a masculine word, and then we say merciful redeemer, which is said to be a feminine word. And we know in the Quran that when we say masculine and feminine, it doesn't only apply to human or animals or plants. On that level, it does apply to them. But that's the physical part. When we talk about masculine and feminine, we can also look at it on the spiritual, on the rational level. And we can also look at it spiritual level. So this is how we want to examine the word. So we do invite listeners and to participate in this conversation. It should be a pretty interesting, but you can't have a conversation unless you got a two-way street. You know, if you're just talking to yourself, then we don't call that a conversation. I know in my younger days when we were dealing with our grandparents and all, and sometimes we would hear them just talking. Sometimes they'd just be talking, but nobody's in the room but them. And when they talk like this, you always say, man, he's talking to himself. And the bad thing is, in this society, they come up with a logic that if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. But as I studied that and learned better, then I find out that talking to yourself can be a good idea. Here's there. We're going to take our first break here, and we're going to come back, and we're going to begin to explore this subject, masculine and feminine. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Okay, we're back here. All right, and I see we do have a caller in the queue here, so we're going to bring you in here as we begin the subject on masculine and feminine. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, wa alaikum assalam. This is Kareem Hamid. calling in from St. Louis, Missouri. And you shared with us what Imam Muhammad shared at a Ramadan session concerning zikr, how we use our fingers, zikr, to make us think. Imam Muhammad, very observant. If we look at our hand right now, at our fingers, we'll see that fingerprints and between the two first joints, the lines somewhat go straight up. There's an upward projection to the prints between the two joints of our fingers. But when we reach the fingertip, Imam Muhammad Sherman, he said, you will see it develops into a circle, a circle at the fingertips. He said that is a sign of the lines going straight is to be straight up, mustaqim. And that point is universal. That's why our fingertips have the design of a circle, which is a symbol of universality. So I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you, my brother.
That's a tafsir in itself there. And he also said that on that circle, that's like a dome. And remember, he talked about that the Muslims wasn't the first one with the dome, that the Christians had the dome in there too. But we maybe explore that in more details one day. But I wanted to establish there because words do make people. And we know a society of progressive words, as some say, positive thinking, will produce a different result than a depressive world with negative thinking. And sometimes we like to say that one is better than the other, and as we discussing on the math level here. But I think when we look at both, and really study the attributes and the meaning of both, we're going to conclude, and we want to kind of dissect it a little bit and let people come up with their own conclusion. But we're going to understand that they both got a place and a proper place in the thinking of the human being. So as we started off, Imam Kareem, that we said, Allah is Ar-Rahman, and he's Ar-Rahim. And we know when we read the Quran, and those of us who are trying to study the Arabic language, it talks, the language itself talks in a masculine and feminine way. So we have to examine this, and we're talking about the words of God. So God is talking in a masculine, and then he's talking in a feminine. Then is one better than the other? Is one superior to the other? So that's why we want to examine this situation just to see, to make sure that we look at the word in their proper place. Now, before we get started, there I just like to say, you know, in the society that we live in, and especially in the Christian influence on words like this, we know because of the lack of knowledge, I'll say, or the knowledge of the deceiver, the one who wanted to deceive the masses of the people, then we look at it in terms of man and woman. Scripture there in the Bible, that there has been some misconception that we believe, misunderstanding or how those words are used there. And now when I'm having conversation on people with this, I always try to take them back to the beginning, you know, where God says in the Bible, and also bear witness to that in the Quran, but where he is talking about the creation and what was made on the first day, the second day, the third day, and all of that. And he says it was, he made it male and female. And we know that these are interpretations as to what human beings, the way that we see it, because there's probably a better word like masculine and feminine, and not necessarily being just on that physical level. When we're talking on the physical level, then it's probably okay to say male and female, because, you know, we name not only human beings that, but we name parts. I've seen tools that they say, hey, this is the male and this is the female. And we say male and female, and a lot of times we don't give the thought to what we are saying. When we look at a tools there, and you look at what is referred to as the male, then it's the giver. It may be the boat that fits on a top of a screw there, that one gives a put in, and the other receives it. So now we got masculine as a giver, and we got feminine now as a receiver. So, and we can understand this in there, and even in a battery, which my car showed up yesterday that I got to get a battery, I believe it is. The light come on. It says not the alternator, so we think it's the battery. But even with the battery, you got a positive that said there, a male, and you got a feminine, the female, which is called the negative pulse, positive and negative. So now here we're dealing with the same thing, and we've come up with a different name for positive and negative. And we know how words have been misused, because a lot of times we take negative to mean something bad, because we give it that bad meaning. But if you did not have the positive and the negative, you wouldn't have the battery power that gives. If you hook it up to the positive and you don't hook it up to the negative until that negative pulse, then you will never get any fire out of that battery. Isn't that something? See how we need to begin to change our thinking. If you hook it up to the negative and you never hook it up to the positive, you will never get any juice out of that. It will be what they call a dead battery or non-productive battery. It takes two. And I remember back when I was coming up, they used to have a song, "It Takes Two, Baby." Say, one can have a dream, but two can make it real. I think some of you all probably remember that song. So it says, it takes two. So we're looking at masculine and feminine to see if there's one that's better than the other. Is there one that's more superior than the other? And as we have established so far, because I like to hear all of the sides of the story, there, you know, when you get ready to make a special important decision, you want to hear all sides of the story. And we call this a lot of times debating. And even in debate, now we look at it as something good and some look at it as something bad. But the debate should give you both sides of the story, because tend to give you all of the positive and never mention the negative. And there's people out here that give you all the negative and never mention the positive. And the results we get each time with each one of them is not exactly what we're looking for. because we only got one side of the story there. So we talking about masculine and feminine. And I'd like to hear from you on how do you see these, how you see these on any of the levels. Just let us know what you're talking about so we can all be on the same thing, whether it's on the physical, whether it's on the rational, or whether it's on the spiritual. And most of us can, I believe, we can detect which level we're talking about in there. And then we can see how the Quran even addressed both of these there and in there. So we do open up the lines at this time. So if you do have a question or comment, do push one on your phone and we'll bring you into the queue. Now, I took the liberty to look up the word masculine, and I'd like to just maybe read that to you, just what the dictionary say. That's, I think that's a good start for us in here. And then, you know, we have some brothers and sisters who go even into these words and break them down to even show even more how one is maybe relates to the other. But the definition, and this is just one little short definition there that they give for masculine. It says, pertaining to a characteristic of a man or men. Masculine attire. Having qualities traditionally ascribed to men in boldness. Noting or pertaining to the gender of Latin, Greek, German, French, Spanish, Hebrew, which has among its members most nouns referring to male as well as other nouns. You see how they give these meaning, and now they have went have taken the level up from just male and female physically, and now we're talking about male masculine and feminine in language, in grammar. So here's language itself is broken down into masculine and feminine, and it's just naming a few. And look like also we know Arabic also should have been in there. So here we have words that refer to masculine, and we have words that refer to the feminine. And a lot of times when we looking up these things, especially when we're talking about in Arabic, we call them sun letters and moon letters there. Not to say one is better than the other, but just to give a description of the two, of the masculine and the feminine. So it says a noun or other elements in a marking that gender. So now we see that not only does physical creation have that, we also have gender in our thinking, in our rational. And then we go up to our spiritual, and as I said before, we see that it's only spiritual, physical, and spiritual, rational. And we don't need to go to develop another logic, because the spiritual, they say, once you get to spiritual, you no longer can be seen in this world there in that. So we do invite you to press one on your phone and tell us what you think about this word, masculine and feminine. And do you think that there's any superiority over one of these over the other? Hear from you. I'll go back to our PSA, and then we'll come back and we will take your call. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Peace be with you, and welcome into Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Pitzer as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, we're back here where we are talking about masculine and feminine. And we want to examine these on all of these levels that we talk about, the physical, the rational, and the spiritual. So we're going to go to our calls. We've got a few callers in the queue. So we're going to get to you because we definitely want to hear from you. All right. Our first caller is at 914-434. Welcome to the program, and state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad. Good to hear from you.
Hello, Akbar. Yeah, I just like to, when the ma'am came into right about 6 months into his leadership, he spoke of W.D. Muhammad speaks on W.D. Muhammad. And he recited, you know, as light shining from the east even to the west. Then he said, whenever we have problems come up, I tell the official to bring all the facts and put them on the table. The facts are not answering themselves. They are part of our problem. But we hope that when we put them all together, we will see our problem, because when you fuse them together, it takes a form and permits you to identify that form. He spoke quite a bit on that. His face 6 months, because he knew he was going to come to these problems about his leadership and after his leadership. And that's one thing we haven't done. We haven't put all the facts on the table.
Right.
That's been our problem. We haven't put... Like I said, when you have to go into a court situation, you know, the judge always hear both sides. Hear both sides before he can come up with a decision. Guilty or innocent or the jury. Hear both sides. You know, speaking about positive and negative, made a good example of that battery. You got to have positive and the negative. Some people don't want to speak about the negative, all positive. Some want to speak all positive and no negative. Like you say, you're not going to get in a spot. The battery's not going to start unless you use the positive and the negative.
Yes, that's right. Well, you just said a mouthful there, Muhammad. That's a subject. All of the facts on the table. Let's put all, and you're right, because people take sides before they have the fact, and they only want to want you to see their side. And because we look at even debate, I hear people, especially, no, I'm not going to debate you on that. Well, why not? Why not bring out both sides? Why not let's hear both sides on these things, as though that debate over it, now, there's a time and place for everything. I do understand that. But why not bring out all of the facts and put them on the table? Why wouldn't you want to do that? You know what I'm saying? So we have to carefully examine our thinking sometimes, because it's so sly and slick the way this devil will do things that he'll have you supporting something against your own self. So that's a very good point there. I appreciate that. And I'm going to remember that, too, to get to all of the facts on the table. Put them on the table. Then make your decision there. Well, we appreciate that. We're going to go to the next caller. All right. Alhamdulillah. All right. We got area code 314-83. Alaykum as-salam to you, Henry Hasib, and to your very distinguished audience there at AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. And I want to just say, alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. This is a good topic, and it's a topic I think it's going to take more than just an hour because you're asking the question in terms of distinction. You're asking the question in terms of superiority and also on different levels. So, you know, there's quite a bit to ask. But let's look at it. Let's look at it from Scripture, as Imam Muhammad said we should do, because we are talking, first and foremost, we're talking about creation. So that's the start there. We're talking about creation. Let's see, what does the revelation that came before the Quran in terms of giving the description in terms of male and female. First and foremost, I should say, no, there is no superiority. It's no superiority. The Creator created to bring about the balance that is needed in human life for the progression. You were speaking about the productivity, but the progression of human life. In biblical scripture, it paints the picture on a physical level, but it also gives the misnomer, misconception, and perception that Adam is just a man, and then later on, it comes that he needs a mate, and that the mate is taken from him, from a rib, you see. So it's like the female is not even present. You see, this is the picture that the Bible paints in that regard. Now, Imam Muhammad, being our teacher and teaching us about Scripture and all, he said the Quran is a continuation of the books that went before it, the Torah, the Old Testament, and the Injil, the New Testament, you see. And so he started with Genesis in terms of the beginning, but it makes the correction in terms of how we are to see ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, he gives our creation in terms of the spiritual, which is most important. Kalakakum min nafsin wahida. O you who are nasu taqwa rabakakum kalakakum min nafsin wahida. Why kalakakum min hazal jaha? And so Allah said, O you social being, be consciously regardful of your guardian evolver. Okay, so that's very important too. Be consciously regardful of your guardian. Guardian means that you're a protector, but your evolver, who created you from one single soul. In Arabic, that's nafs. One single soul. Not two, not three or four or more, but one single soul. And Imam W.D. Muhammad has taught us that nafs, it means soul, but it also means essence. So you know, the Quran is Tafsir Quran Bil Quran, which means the clear explanation of the Quran by the Quran. It explains itself. So whenever we're talking about revelation coming from the Quran, we go to the Quran to get, you understand, how it is defining by the Creator who created, but also the Creator that not only gave us creation, but gave us revelation. So you stop right there, and then you reflect upon
Kalaka Kumen Nesin Waheda. So Kalaka is created one single soul or one single essence. So that means that in the spiritual, as you were speaking about, both the masculine and the feminine are embodied there. The human being is one human being in the, on the spiritual level. Actually, Anissa, which is the fourth chapter, if you rightly understand that, the things that have divided the human being up in terms of the isms, what we mean ism, not only, I'm not speaking just only in terms of racism, but elitism, you know, one being above the other or superior to the other. Genderism, classism, all these isms that have divided the human being up, even when it comes to gender in terms of male and female. So Allah is speaking directly to that and saying no. And it starts with your creation in terms of the spiritual, which is abstract. You can't see it, but God is telling you, he's telling us that I created you from one single soul, one single essence, which meaning that there's not a male soul and there's not a female soul. And now when we look at today's society, the LGBTQ, and they tell me they got other alphabets they added to it, it's one single soul, one single essence. Now, Allah goes on in the Quran. That's why I say it's going to take more than.
We're going to take our time. I think this is a subject, Mark, that's there, and I think we got to analyze it on the different levels that we just talked about, the physical, the rational, and the show. And the reason, as the brother said, we got to put all of the facts on the table, because they got a saying out here saying the devil is in the details. So if we look at the details, then we're going to see how these problems come and what the solution, the critical issue that we have to deal with, because it is posing. And I'm sure that's why the sister brought that up. It poses a big problem that needs to be solved in this society. And not only in this society, we see it as even crept into the Muslim society, that they are taking on things and be mislabeling it religion and all of that, because that's what they do when it comes to the mistreatment of the female in the Islamic culture there. They'll call it Islamic culture, but there's no Islamic culture that mistreats the woman. But they misdo this, and that's why we gotta diagnose these things to see where that problem is. Continue this. But hold your thought just a minute. I want to bring in the other two callers before we do give out of time.
Oh, okay.
But,
because I know I would have eaten up the rest of the time.
Mark, you're our brother, and we love you. But hold on a minute. I'm going to leave your mic open because you may have another comment there. And I'm going to bring in the next caller. This is area code 727. 741. Welcome to the program. Take your name, where you call us from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Martha Nyla Epa calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, resident of St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And thank you. Going right to the point for our time's sake, and greetings of peace to everyone. I'm going to reference, as we're putting things on the table, how some of the misnomer has come about that I had not even known. Of course, the last revelation, the Quran, is to clear up a lot of thinking that we have. But in that thinking from the, and I'm going to say the biblical, quote unquote, the biblical text of things. But I want to share where the mythological meaning of something. Now, I text back to, now when we mention male and female and masculine and feminine, and are they referencing the same? And when I looked up the definitions, they both, in the definitions, were referring to a gender. And then I looked, okay, so what is gender? And it was sharing that it too is speaking about the sexual connotation, so there's a reference to that unseen, as Mark was speaking about, but it quickly goes back to the physical. Now, we know we're physical. You hear me speaking, but you don't see me. But you hear a tone or something that tells you there's that's a female, but isn't the attribute of that female is feminine. So I'm just going to go to put this one out here on the mythological reference that comes from. Now this goes back to the Hebrew language, and it says that the Adam, because I asked the question, who is Adam? And once we put that on the table too, as Mark just did, Adam is referencing that one soul. If we all can see that, there's no composite about male or female organs, or even flesh and blood. It's Adam. Adam, period, without any kind of flesh. We know what the flesh looks like now, so we can go back to the abstract. All right. So then Hebrewish, they reference all of it says that Adam was male. Adam was masculine. Adam was first. And then God saw the loneliness of Adam. And there, right there, indicates to us that the reference in our mind is that there's that male figure created, and then God decided to create a female. And that is the undertone that many will go to with their reference, and it subliminally came into all our minds. So in Hebrew, they call this the female Lilith and other references, but they say then it was theorized to be the first wife of Adam. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting this there so we can declare, we know that this is coming from the Romanized mythological, it said Mesopotamian and Judaic mythology, theorized to be the first wife. And then I'll stop right here after this. She is mentioned in the Bible, biblical Hebrew, in the book of Isaiah, and in late antiquity in Mandaean mythology and Jewish mythology sources from 500 CE onward. And Liz appears in historian incantations incorporating a short mythic story. And it goes on to say that she was from the garden and of Eden for not complying with and obeying Adam. She is thought to be mentioned in the biblical Hebrew in the book of Isaiah. Okay, but she was as a demon. All right, so I'm going to stop right there. So now we go through that whole concept.
Right, we're going to, because we need to break this down. This is a very serious problem that we know that is happening in the world. Like I say, not only we can say in the Western society, but it's happening in the Eastern society also there. And we need to make these distinctions. So next week, I think we need to examine a little bit more of this, because like Mark was saying, probably Iowa, it's not going to get it, and it's too important for us to just kind of hit it, and because there's so much more to this there that doesn't necessarily happen to be on the physical level, but we don't get further than that, and we need to go a little bit further, because you were saying about those words. Now, I looked up the words, too, and I know Mark Shaheed is always one that's breaking them down and to the word language. But when I looked up the word, just as an example, we say masculine. When you start with the M-A in masculine, it's ma. And ma is a word
that means mother. And we call it mama. Mama. You know what I'm saying? This broadened our perspective. So here is, we're talking about a masculine word that root is in mother. And we have to understand, because what the devil do, as we know, the Satan, he confuses the mind. Cause of that confusion, I heard Imam Muhammad say, you send your son off to a higher education, a strong man, and he come back with a broke wrist. What happened? Did something happen to him physically, or was it something that took place in his thinking? So we need to examine this so we can put all of the facts on the table, and we can see how to get the devil out of these details. So we will go into it a lot more. And so it's going to take a little time to really develop, to give us a understanding, or a better understanding than how we deal with it in society. And you'll be surprised how most of the people, and I'm talking about even the thinkers in the society, never get off the physical level with these things here. So it is much to do. And guess what? I didn't stop there, so I went to see what is the F-E in feminine. And you know, we know what F-E, the science, most especially those who have examined and goes into science, F-E is a symbol for what? Iron. And if we was looking at the word iron, we would say, hey, that's masculine. Iron, that means strong, strength, that's male. But they have given us the word feminine, and it starts with F-E, and F-E is a, you see what I'm saying? We have to examine these things because they will cause confusion in the human being. And I'm going from something else I heard Imam Muhammad say, because when you cause this confusion in the human being, you can twist the mind or twist the thinking of an individual. You'll have a male thinking he's a female and a female thinking she's a male. And we all got a proper role, and this is what we're trying to get. What is the proper role? Because I think we have distinguished that there is no superiority over a male over a female. There's a role, and a distinct role of a male, and there's a distinct role of a female. And we have to do, but we can't go into that looking that one is better than the other, because without one, you don't have the other. You see what I'm saying? So it's so much we got to go with this subject. This was a broad subject, and I just wanted to kind of hit the surface of it to give us something to be thinking about, but we want to take it to fullest degree, and we'll say, in there to examine that. So we're going to have to continue this subject. That's about. But do you have any final comments on that? Because I know you broke that subject, and yes, I thought it was a good nowhere to go. I had no idea.
Alhamdulillah. Right, yeah, and that's it. I'm thankful to be a thinker. Praise be to Allah by Allah's grace and mercy. And like you say, it's too much at risk. If we're talking about developing community life and family life, then we have to really have that understanding at the base.
Mm-hmm. And we will. So we're going to continue this subject next week, and we'll see where it goes from there. I think when we get into the distinction, because there is a distinct role for male and there's a distinct role for female. I think we even get that mixed up because we never leave the physical. See, and if it don't work on the physical, it's not going to work on the rational. If it don't work on the rational, we know it ain't going to work on the spiritual. And so we got to examine how these different areas, because they will throw confusion. Just like I just read, you would think if we talk about masculine, when we look at the root of the word and begin to break it down, it should be all different. Look like mask,
Matt, M-A, should be dealing with iron because we, the way we look at masculine. But M-A is dealing with mother, and that's what it says. It's a word that's used for mother, ma. Hey, ma, you know, we said, I never give a thought to it. Yeah, this is my ma. and then some of us say, mama, this is my mama. And then the word feminine, and here in that word, we got iron. So, and iron is a symbol for strength. So when we look at these words, then we find out that in the attributes, the physical makeup of the male and the female, that we got both masculine qualities and attributes that we're going to have to examine a lot more. And we got feminine. So here we got both in this thing that we call human being that's in there. You know, even things like pecan trees. You say, now how does pecan tree produce pecans? And they and it's just a tree. I don't see them having no relationship of being cross-planted with another because they got both the male or the masculine and the feminine attribute. Even the language, when we get into the language, especially the Arabic language, and I know we're running out of time, when we get into the language, the word you, we'll be able to see the word you, fa-el-te, and fa-el-ti, which is you masculine and you feminine, singular. But then we get down that there's you masculine and you feminine, plural. And this gives us some further insight in how we have to look at God's creation in the masculine and the feminine. So we are going to continue this, and inshallah, we continue next week with making some of the distinctions and bringing up some of the other things that we think that would be good to help solve this problem. So I do appreciate your call, but we're out of time, and we're going to be right back here next week with another edition of Critical Issues and Looking for Those Solutions. Till then, we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you and welcome into Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seeds to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Adam Biyar here on this Thursday morning, on Money Sense. I want to welcome all of you to our program and thank you for remaining online after the previous program with Brother Henry Hasib called Critical Issues. We're going to open up the program today reading from the Quran. And this is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the fifth Surah of the Quran, the 13th ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Excuse me, this is the 12th ayah. I'm sorry, not 13th ayah. Surah to Maida, the 12th ayah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أخذ الله ميثاق بني إسرائيل ونحصنا منهم اثنا عشر نقيبا وقال الله إني معكم لئن أقمتم الصلاة وآتيتم الزكاة وآمنتم برسولي وأزرتموهم وأقرضتم الله نهاكم قردان حسنات لأكفرن عنكم سيئاتكم ولا أكفرنكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار فمن كفر بعد ذلك منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل. صدق الله العظيم. In the translation from Abdul Yusuf Ali, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah did aforetime take a covenant from the children of Israel. And we appointed 12 chieftains among them, and Allah said, I am with you if you but practice regular prayers, practice regular charity, believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and loan to Allah a beautiful loan. Verily, I will wipe out from you your evils and admit you to gods with rivers flowing beneath. But if any of you after this have resisted faith, they have truly wandered from the path of rectitude. Sadaqa al-Azim, Allah speaks the truth, and truly Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. Excuse me. All right. You know, I was, as I often do when I get a chance, looking on social media. And now there's a lot of posts about the evil Zionistic President Biden. And this was after the president went over to meet with Netanyahu and made the statements he made about their right to defend themselves, et cetera, et cetera. It turned a lot of people off. I mean, I know it turned me off. But then from that, I began seeing threads that, hey, we're never going to vote for Biden, never going to vote for Biden. He's evil. Right? I said to myself, I wonder, is that a fitting reaction? Well, I wonder if that's being pushed by those that don't want Biden to win. I said, well, who wouldn't want Biden to win? Oh yeah, right, I forgot. There's a elephant in the room that don't want Biden to win. So I wonder if that's the beginning of a thread to lessen people that would want to vote, assuming that in the next presidential election it would be, assuming it would be Biden and former president, current besieged Trump with all his issues. So then I start thinking, you know, because I didn't agree with the visit to meet with Netanyahu at that time. But then I thought, name an American president that didn't support Israel like that, that didn't pay what's the word, that didn't make the trip over and kiss the ring of the Israeli leaders. Name one. So I went back in history, and I found one. I found one. And that led me to my topic for today of choose peace and not apartheid. Choose peace and not apartheid. You might ask, where'd you get that topic from? Well, that happened to be the title of a book published by former President Jimmy Carter. And he wrote that book. Actually, not just even before he wrote the book, just in all his efforts to establish peace in the Middle East. You can remember that, those of you that were around during the time President Carter was in office. You probably remember that refrain, peace in the Middle East. And I was corrected by one of my friends and said, hey, that really isn't the Middle East. If you look at a map, Palestine is connected to Africa. I said, well, I'm not going to get into that because it's, every division you see on maps, whatever, were created. And they got the map wrong. But anyway, they got the language wrong, the names wrong. Everything has been created by the Western system has been designed for a reason and a purpose. But anyway, so President Carter, and you can remember his Camp David Accords, where he brought Menachem Begin and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat together. And they signed an agreement based on those efforts. And it ended in President Sadat and Begin both receiving Nobel Peace Prizes for the work that they did to bring that agreement together. And since that time, I guess if the Nobel could take their peace prize back, they probably would take that one back, because that didn't last but a hot minute at all. But the efforts were good. They had some good efforts in trying to bring that together. So under President Carter, that he put some work in. And even after he came out of office, he continued to put work in to bring peace in that area. And he wasn't hand-tied by being in office or hand-tied by the title of president. So he felt moved to write more accurate stuff. So he came up with this book, Choose Peace and Not Apartheid. And this was the former president of the United States using that language. So I found one that tried to work to establish something and he's been considered anti-Semitic since then. I mean, he definitely was considered anti-Semitic when he wrote the book, Choose Peace, Not Apartheid. But he was accused of being anti-Semitic even before the book came out because of the work he chose to participate in that region, to bring some kind of justice and equity to the lives of all involved, and particularly to the lives of the Palestinians. And he got in that book, he got real graphic in terms of what he saw when he went to visit the region. He got real graphic. Now, this is back in 2006, and even before then, right? He got real graphic. And because he tried to get some equity, they said he's anti-Semitic. Then there's another president after Carter that was considered to be anti-Semitic, whether you believe it or not, President Obama. That's right, Barack Hussein Obama was considered to be anti-Semitic, mainly because of, one of the reasons was because of the nuclear deal he, under his watch, that was cut with the Iranians, right? And because of that, he's been castigated by the Jews, or by the, I can say Jews, not that's not all Jews, but by the ones that agree with the existence, how the state of Israel is existing today, at the expense of the Palestinians. So he's been castigated, right? So up comes President Biden, and President Biden is not cut from the mold of Jimmy Carter. He's just an ordinary, for the sake of using that term, but being president is not an ordinary role. But in terms of in the annals of history, he's just like most of all the presidents since 1948 or 47, whenever the Nakba began, when the leaders of the so-called State of Israel injected themselves into that region in the way that they did till now. And what has resulted in the lives of the Palestinians right now. Now, don't think that this just started to happen. When I read excerpts of President Carter's book, the same thing that exists today existed then. It's just that today is much more grave than it was back then. It's much more grave. And he talked about it back then. So it's not like it just started. It's not like it just started. But as you see the current flare of fighting, and I'll put that in I don't even know if I would call that a fight. Because you look at the amount of weapons and the amount of everything, it's really not a fair fight. It's really not a fair fight. But when you look at that, right now, in the latest actions of the Israeli government now. That has been going on for years. And President Carter described in his book then, and it is much worse today than what he described in his book. It's much, much worse today. So I just want to open up with that and see what if you have any comments or questions, press one and we'll talk more about it. But nothing happens in a vacuum. I mean, I know we were going on our normal life. We were seeing happenings in the world, and I mean, it got to the point before all this really flared up that every day there was a certain name mentioned in the press every day. I was getting tired of it. I mean, I didn't want to hear that name again. But I did not want the name to be removed from the headlines at the expense of the Palestinian people. Right? I did not want that. So I want you to think about that, and we're going to play a couple of PSAs, and we'll be right back. I see a name. I'm a hand's gone up. We're going to bring that person on. But we'll be right back after these messages.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right, we're back. This is Adam Biar, your host of Monday Session on AM 360 on this Thursday morning, every Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. We have our first caller, area code 321-917, 321-917. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Shukran, for inviting us in. DeLacy Umar here, Melbourne, Florida.
Yes,
I was listening to your comments and totally agreeing with the historic nature of this problem. And, I'll say this. I have two things I want to say. I want to remind our listeners of the trauma that has been brought on the Palestinian people by this occupation and theft of land. I'm not going to beat around the bush calling it settlements and this and that. No, theft of land, stealing land by force, robbery, really. And I had a friend I knew 20 years ago. He told me, and I repeated this before, but I want to keep this in people's mind, that he said that when planes fly over the Gaza Strip, Israeli planes flying over the Gaza Strip, nothing else can fly over there, period. Said, right. Little children stand up and urinate on themselves for fear that they're going to have bombs or something falling on them. 20 little children now. He told me this 20 years ago. So now we are looking at an adult who's been under that type of stress and trauma for 20-some-odd years now, and acting out. So, you know, that's one point. The other thing I heard this morning on the news, PR, it was on NPR, where the president was putting out a warning to Israel, really. I was surprised to hear this, about the activity in the West Bank. Because now they're in the West Bank, they bombed the West Bank, the settlers are jumping on Palestinians in the West Bank, and President Biden said this morning, I guess he's looking at all the opposition that's coming up, the disagreement in the public with his stance of protecting these the Zionists, I'm going to say that language, the Zionists, and who are stealing property and trying to usurp that whole area. They're trying to take the whole area. So mm-hmm. The president said that the Palestinians have a right to be in the West Bank, and they shouldn't be attacking them in the West Bank on the, where they have a right to be. So mm-hmm. He said that this morning. I heard it this morning. He must have said it yesterday. It was very early when I heard NPR. It comes on at 7, so Eastern Standard Time. So he must have said that yesterday. So he said that's not part of the deal. He said that's not, this is the language he used, that's not part of the deal, that the Palestinians in the West, they have the right to be there. So it's hard to share that there is an awareness that there's a movement going on to take that whole property.
Right.
So anyway, that's why I just say that, ma'am.
I appreciate that, brother. You bring a good point. And you know, when President Biden took that money over, it was $100 million or something like that, and that's a good gesture to help and aid, give aid to the Palestinians. You know who monitors that money?
Israel's monitoring.
Yep. Israel monitors the money, and they can use it as favors. I mean, so still, that's not.
It's a never-ending problem until it's fixed properly. Justice has to be done.
I think the world, you know, now that the people around the world are standing up and complaining.
Yeah, it's so too much.
They're,
man,
not getting too, friends too with themselves. It's too obvious. And I thought about that, you know, and I know we had another caller, but I just want to say this. Early on, when this thing started, everybody. And I'm not supporting, condoning what Hamas did or what they were allegedly did.
And neither am I. Yeah.
And I still haven't seen any pictures of them cutting the heads of babies off. I mean, that's kind of over. Yeah. But anyway, but they don't control the media. They don't have the news. But everybody's saying, how would the prophet do it? I agree with them. How would the prophet do it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But the time to come to people's defense right? Should have been there all along. I mean, if I'm sitting by, if I'm sitting on the sidelines, right, and I see somebody beating you upside the head, right, and just nitpicking and beating you and doing things to you, and I don't say nothing, I don't say nothing, and then the next day I see you, the person from behind, and hit him, and I'm gonna tell, I'm gonna criticize how you responded, right?
Yes.
If I didn't say nothing for the last 10, 15 years about your treatment, then I'm not going to say nothing to you about your retaliation. Yes. If I didn't come to your aid, you have all these organizations that are coming out and giving accurate chronic response to them. Where were they when the Palestinians were suffering? And I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
If you were silent for the last 20 years, say about that now. I remember the World Trade Center, brother. When they leveled the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And I heard a report that the federal government sent health therapists to New York to treat the people. And they had therapists all the way up to uptown, Central Park South, therapists. You can't even see the World Trade Center from the Central Park South.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't even see it. But even those people needed assistance and help. Can you imagine, as you described, can you imagine the people that have bombs dropped on them every day? You think that some of them might be crazy.
Yeah, and you know, ma'am,
you think some of them might be bombing.
Yeah, you know, and this bombing in itself, man, I was out in Texas, and those B-52 bombers were taken off from an air base out there, and man, the whole ground was trembling. You know, these things are horrible, and you just see constant bombing, and then that Iraq War, they did that to those Iraqis. And them people were coming out of them trenches with their hands up, raised up, you know. That's a hell of a situation to be in. So we don't realize the trauma that's involved in war and whatnot, and oppression and slavery. And that's a prison camp. What are you doing declaring war on a people you got locked up in a prison camp? I mean, what is that in the first place? So anyway, yeah. Ma'am. This is a terrible situation, and we have to give voice to it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's not to condone violence at all. We don't approve of killing women, children, and babies, and old elderly, et cetera. But only people who fight you, are you permitted to do that. So that's a wrong deed that was done. But now you're going to do something more dastardly to correct it. That just doesn't make sense. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
Like I said, let us make a note to not be quiet when we can speak out in support of them and encourage them to follow a better path in their response.
Yeah,
you remember
Muhammad
said that. Back in the 90s, he said, if the Palestinians would take a page from the civil rights movement,
I agree.
And not to be baited into these kind of actions, then the whole world would see who the devil is. As they saw with us, when Dr. King had his marches, and they did what they did to him. Thank you very much, brother, ma'am. I appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. All right, let's go to our next caller. 914-434.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum assalam. This is Muhammad Sharif, called Mount Vernon, New York.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Muhammad?
I'm doing great. All praises be to Allah. You have to go back to the history. When we saw what was happening to the Jews in Europe under Hitler, powerful countries, America, Britain, France, China, Japan, they all sat back quietly and saw the Jewish people being destroyed under Hitler. Nobody said a word. And they had powerful forces that could have made an attempt to stop that. We saw the same thing that happened to the Native Americans. World sat back and watched it happening. People destroyed, put on concentration camps. Now you very seldom even hear or even see the presence of what you call the American, the natives, the Indians. Same thing happened to us. Whole world sat back and watched us of 400-500 years of slavery, listening in all of that. Nobody said a word. You know, ma'am, when he visited that area there in Gaza, he said if he made the wrong move, he would probably be killed over there. Ma'am said, if I had a weapon, I would learn to use a weapon, I would be on the side of the Palestinians. And now all this talk is going on, I didn't hear not one imam, not one leader say, yes, we are with you, Imam Muhammad. They didn't say not a word. And as you were saying before, but Imam Adam, all this talk is going on after you have seen what happened to the Palestinian people, and now we come out with this weak talk, not saying a word. No, President Jimmy Carter said all of that, and now that the Palestinian people have been almost annihilated, they've been put in that situation now, almost total destruction, and now we hear the weak talk coming from the leaders with these statements that they're making. And they said not a word when the man said, I will be with the Palestinian people. You didn't hear a word from him. I said a few days ago, and one person came back and told me, well, Muhammad, you didn't hear what was said. No, then I asked him, what did they say when the imam said, I will be with the Palestinian people? Not a one of them said a word. And the same thing is going on now. You're seeing the Palestinian people being almost annihilated, wiped out, and not the leaders not even saying a word. Nothing but politics and nothing but talk. Like you said, but now you said they haven't said anything the last 20 years. And now you see a person is taking some type of defense against themselves. And now you talk. Ask the question, who is Hamas? Who is Hamas? Hamas was set up by the CIA, supported by America. You don't know, we don't know who Hamas is. But we are giving strong support to Israel and saying what Biden said. What he just said.
Well, Hamas was
nothing.
Hamas was more the military wing of the PLO, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what we've been told. The CIA, the CIA set up Hamas. They are funded by the CIA. They are funded by America and all of that.
Muhammad, do you have any definitive proof that that's what it is?
Yes,
That's my question now. Do you have any definitive proof that you can point to that the CIA set Hamas up? And all the way I'm saying, I'm not saying they did or didn't, but I don't want conspiracy stuff to take over as though it's fact when it might be wrong. That's all.
That's not all. Hold up. You asked me to make a comment, but you're not letting me finish the comment.
Go ahead.
Benjamin Netanyahu, whatever his name is over there in Egypt, he said they support Hamas, funded Hamas.
You hear
what's coming from America. America saying we give support to the to Israelis that corrupt the Zionist movement that's being done over there. You heard America, every president Every president, including Imam Obama, said we support the Israelis and what they are doing to Palestinian people.
Muhammad, what was the question that I said? I said, do you have proof that the CIA created and supported Hamas? That's all I asked.
Yes.
Now you're over there talking about you have some proof. Where's the proof at? Where would I go to find the proof?
Have you listened to anybody else other than, have you heard Imam Rashad Shabazz? Have you heard anybody
Again,
else tell you about how he got, hold up, have you been to the United Nations? Have you
not,
been to America? Have
proof.
You been to the United Nations? Have you seen what goes on there?
That's not proof, Muhammad, that's not proof. That's a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy.
And all I'm saying to you, if you can't prove it, it's a conspiracy.
Well, if the proof is that, Adam,
that's the whole problem.
Adam, see, you're talking, but you're going to let me explain. You ask for proof. I tell you there's a proof in 1990, was it?
When they
set up the Jews in the Palestinian country, when that was set up, that was designed. That's what I'm saying. Why they didn't choose another land in California or Iowa or Germany or New Jersey?
That's not what I'm asking.
All that could have been set up. Why they choose to go? See, Adam, Allah speaks about the intent. What was the intent?
I'm getting back to the question. Real simple question. You keep going all the way back before the 70s. Hamas wasn't even around then. So I'm asking you one simple question. When you said the CIA created or supported Hamas, I'm asking you one simple question. On that fact, where is your proof?
What's your question?
I just said it.
It was the Sabbath, and what was the intent? I lost the intent. What was the intent when they
I ain't talking about intent. I'm asking you one simple question. Where is your documented proof that the CIA props up Hamas? That's all I ask.
I just told you what was reported by Benjamin Netanyahu, whatever his name is on that Israel. They said we are the one who funded Hamas. That's public information. That's in the media.
I agree. That's what I'm saying now. I agree that Israel has, it's their benefit, keep a militant group out front to justify dropping them bombs. I agree with that. But I ask you one simple question, what you said. You said, did CIA Hamas? The CIA now, which is an American organization.
That's
not
right.
An Israeli organization. So
American
is
organization.
Group? Not an Israeli organization. You keep telling me we're not Netanyahu. Why you keep mentioning him? I'm going to go on. Okay, I got some other callers, brother. And for those of you, I'm trying to keep from conspiracy stuff invading this program if you don't have proof, because that's the problem. We all talk
about conspiracy stuff.
Thank you, brother. I got two more calls. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, my brother. I got two other people online.
Yeah, well, they come out.
All right. Thank you, bro. All right. Let me go back to the next phone line. 727-741.
Assalamu alaikum. And alaikum assalam to you, Imam Adam Beya, and to all the listeners. Martha Nyla here, resident of St. Petersburg, Clearwater area in Florida. I thought I was getting into your question, but it has gone just like that. Let me come back when it comes back. it was in reference to, listen, everybody, okay, this is the 7-0, I'm at the 7th level. I'll just keep the same.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Martha, otherwise, I'm accused you of being conspiracy.
You got that right. I'm throwing my head in the ring.
All right, wait.
Okay.
Throw your hand and listen back. back up when you think we remember it. I sound like it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. There we go, 251-404-251-404. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Henry Hasib in Mobile, Alabama. Listening to the dialogue there, and I know in our show, Adam, one of the comments that was made is you got to put all the facts on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, especially this in this society, we know Satan exists, but if they ask you for the proof that he exists, you probably can't get it. There, it's a lot of things that's going on, and bits and pieces of knowledge, you know, that's dropped on us, and we'll call it conspiracy, and that's another man-made word that's special if it's something that's against something else. Now, I've been looking at things, and I heard one of the emails say that, hey, it's Satan on both sides. So we know the devil is in here somewhere, but we may not be able to necessarily prove that the devil is there. But as the facts bear out, because I know when this thing first started, the news media and the news reporter kept asking, how did your defense, you got the most modern defense, a system in the world, how all of a sudden this day it failed? I think that's a legitimate question. It's up any other time, you can't break through it this particular day. Now, there may be some legitimate reason, but they hadn't been said. So it's something that's deeper than what, as they say, that the eyes is seeing out here, or that they're projecting to the masses or the public, that's going on behind the scenes. I can see that with all of the facts, which may never get revealed of this, but we know that it's wrong for even if Palestine was doing it to Israel, for them to kill innocent people over there without. So, however, because the whole thing right now from the West side is that Israel's got a right to defend itself. I agree. But does the Palestinian have a right to defend themselves? I never hear that. Something that's missing to this formula. I don't know what it is there, but, I'm sure.
They control this narrative, brother. That's it.
They control the narrative.
The narrative, you can paint it the way you want to.
Exactly.
And they
I think we have to be careful that sometimes that because it's inklings of it, it's going to be exposed out here because God's going to expose it there. With Revelation,
here's
Prophet Muhammad.
Here's my thing on conspiracy, brother.
Prophet Muhammad, he had the same situation. Now we can see, we see clearly revealed to the prophet, but it wasn't accepted by the people when he got these revelations.
Brother Henry.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Uh-huh.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
I can hear you.
Conspiracy. When you try to put a physical face on it, we know about a lot of us in the Quran about the actions of the shaitan.
Right.
And he asks us to be aware of the actions of the shaitan. Right?
Right.
The problem comes up when people try to humanize the shaitan.
I agree.
That's the problem.
I agree. Yeah,
that's
I
the
agree.
Problem. It's the tendencies, it's the aim of the shaitan, the works of the shaitan that draws our attention to. But to say that this group is...
Because I do, you know, and a lot of sales will say sometimes you despise a thing that's good for you, and sometimes you like a thing that you should be despising that's bad for you.
Right,
but I do understand
that
happens a lot. We like to put, as I call it, personality. And that's why when I'm talk to people and they think you're talking about them, I say, look here. I say, when I'm talking to you, even though it may fit you, I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about mentality. And it doesn't matter if it's you, me, or who it is. if we, as they say, if the shoe fit, you have to wear it. But the mentality is what needs to be destroyed, because if it's not, it's going to destroy us. And I don't want us to be destroyed. So we got to fight against the Shaitan, ourselves, and another. So I agree with the whole heart. Yeah, but we like to put personality and that's when we'll start saying it's the Israeli people. It's the Palestinian people. It's the devil. It's the Shaitan. So I agree.
Yes, sir.
We have to be
careful. All right, well, thank you, brother.
All right.
Got another caller here. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Lakey. All right, let's go back to phone lines. Area code 281. 5282815285.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Ron Foster Sharif calling from Houston, Texas. See, this is why I don't like Biden. Biden is just almost a puppet for Israel. I don't like him, and I'm sorry that the Republican Party is in such a disarray that we really don't have an alternative but to cast the ballot again for Biden. And I don't think he's going to finish the second term. And that brings into focus somebody that I like, dislike as much as him. And that's Kamala Harris sitting in the big chair. But the reason why I don't like Biden, especially now, is that this whole thing is a setup. It's always been a setup. It was a setup from the very beginning. The Allies knew what was going on in Auschwitz. They allowed it to happen so that it could galvanize the Jewish people into supporting another homeland. First, it was going to be Uganda in the middle of Africa. Now, they're saying that it was some big-time intelligence mix up, and they didn't see what Hamas and the and its fighters were getting ready to do. Netanyahu was on the ropes. He had the people of Israel mobilizing by masses in the streets, trying to prevent him from consolidating his power and rearranging practically the Constitution of Israel. He knew Hamas was coming. The way that they have clamped down on the situation in Israel and in the West Bank and Gaza, they know what was coming. But they needed that in order to distract the people again and allow Netanyahu to consolidate his power. Now nobody is in the streets in Israel talking about the abuse of power of Netanyahu. Now he has consolidated himself into a position that he's almost a dictator. And and in addition to that, I think it is a sin and a shame, man, and downright embarrassing. All the oil that they have in the Middle East, in the Arab nations, And the Palestinians and the people of Gaza cannot get fuel. Now, I know that they're on the southern border with Egypt. They have this treaty, and the treaty allows and disallows certain things. But this is not the time to be trying to honor a treaty to somebody who is a notorious treaty breaker. They should be bringing fuel in through the southern border, through Egypt. That's a shame. That what it shows that Israel, it shows that Egypt is being punked out by Netanyahu and the Israelis. It's sad. And no, I don't believe for 1 minute that the tactics of Martin Luther King would have worked with the PLO, with the people, with the PLO and the people, the Palestinians. No, there's only one language that these people that are aggressing the people of the Palestinians understand, and that's violence. That
well, see that
from
see,
the
that,
very
that,
beginning,
if
brother.
You,
now I'm gonna stop right there.
Brother Ron, you ain't got all. But if you listen to what Imam Muhammad was saying, and if you think about it, he said, if you do that, he didn't say that's going to bring peace. He said that would show the whole world who the real devil is.
Well, on paper, yeah, but it wouldn't have made any difference. They were saying that they was going to take that land. And land, like Malcolm said, land has always been taken through bloodshed.
They would not have taken it without an excuse that Hamas cut the heads of babies off.
Well, this is long before the bloodshed started, before they made that statement. I'm just going to agree for us to disagree, brother, on that point. Thank you.
Okay.
That's what I'm like.
But I'm just recounting the Imam Muhammad statement, which I agree. But irregardless of that, we know it wouldn't have made a difference because these guys had one purpose in mind, that they need to have a pretext of them taking the land that they're trying to do. Now they're trying to push a narrative to justify their actions. And whether Biden or some other American president, no American president except Carter, had done enough to try to be equitable. And they got him cast down. They're trying to cast him as anti-Semitic, which is ludicrous. Thank you very much, brother. You take care.
Thank you.
And, okay, we got a couple of minutes left. I see you have a hand back. I think the sister Martha's come back.
What I remember. The same thing you referred to just then, the recommendation by the Imam Warthy Muhammad Rahimullah, he did the same thing with Iraq when he said, let the world see that there were no weapons of mass destruction. And you'll see the hands of Shaitan at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much. And it's been a problem, so we're not going to solve the problem over there in this conversation or probably the next few conversations if we continue on with it. But the main thing is we get more and more opposition to that, and I see more and more opposition coming up, whether it's in the U.S. or other countries. People are waking up to what's going on, and we pray Allah that Allah gives help to the innocent people wherever they might live. And that's our prayers, inshallah. And I pray that we as a community, that we are able to speak out and speak up about issues that we see. And don't forget the plight of the Palestinian people. Not today, next week. I mean, if Israel says we're not going to drop no more bombs, which is doubtful. But if they say that, still, let's remember the plight of the Palestinian peoples, even more so today, because if it was dire before the bombs, it's really dire now. It's really dire now. And one more thing, through social media, we're able to see the effects of the bombs being dropped. That's something that was not there in the history, that we can see the effects. Can you imagine if there were real-time photos coming through social media of the victims at Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Can you imagine that? But we only had snippets. This is real-time. So with that being said, this has been Adam B.R. here on Money Sense on M360, inshallah. We'll be back next Thursday morning, and we'll get out of the way for you, man. You said Ramadan. This topic is public life versus private life. Public life versus private life. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and peace be unto you with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. I'll be your host today, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from a Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today, we wanted to talk to you a little about public life versus private life. Well, public life versus private life. And, I worked on a film, crazy film one time, about the life of Howard Stern, this famous or infamous, depending on your view, disc jockey out of New York, known as a shock jock. And the name of it was Private Parts. So, you know, your private parts, we teach our children, our grandchildren, your private parts are just that, private. You don't let anyone, strangers, touch your private parts or see your private parts. You're supposed to keep your private parts covered up. It's privacy. And in other words, there's certain things that are acceptable in private that you wouldn't do in public. Is that right? Yeah, so we always turn to the Quran, Al-Quran Kareem, the generous and noble Quran, and we look for guidance. And we look for guidance in every aspect of our lives. Allah says to us in Surah 24, Bismillah ar-Rahim, O you who believe, enter not houses other than your own, until you have asked permission and saluted those in them that is best for you, in order that you may heed what is seemly or appropriate, right? And further, if you find no one in the house, enter not until permission is given to you. If you are asked to go back, go back. That makes for greater purity for yourselves. And Allah knows well all that you do. Now, you know, I didn't mean to tie it to this, but a brother sent me a video of another brother, who African-American brother, who was released from prison. And he chronicled how he did a lot of time in prison. He got out of prison and how tough it was for him to make it on the outside. And someone owed him money. And he, in his words, he said they were ducking him. In other words, trying to avoid paying him. You know how many people do when the collect the calls and you don't answer the phone? So he said he went to the person's house and he told him nobody was home. And he came back and they didn't answer the door. So he kicked the door in and broke the door down and went inside. He said, now he never said whether they were home or not, but he said by the time he got outside and got, the police were already pulling up. So he was presenting that as, you see how hard it is for a poor ex-convict that's out of prison and trying to make it and somebody owes him money? Well, he's a criminal. He's a criminal. And he still is following his criminal ways as the way to success. With all the failure that is given to him, he still wants to be a criminal. And look what he got him. So, of course, he went back to prison again because he didn't follow right guidance. You say, well, he's not a Muslim, brother, man. No, but there are many non-Muslims that follow right guidance, not from the Quran. Or they don't know that it's from the Quran, but they know thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So they're following guidance from Allah, whether they call it Allah, call it Allah or whatever they call it, or they just have some certain principles. So it got him into trouble. It was like a sister was sharing with me. We were having a discussion, and we'll be talking to you soon about the Time to Be Grateful Muslim Journal coming up in December in Newark. And she was saying, you know, and many of us may have experienced this, well, my children, they don't really practice the religion. And but they're good people, but they don't practice the religion. And the reason why they were saying, and also one of the other emails was saying to me, that a sister came in with her and her children, her grandchildren, and had them take shahada. And then she said, we don't see y'all doing nothing. We don't see y'all doing nothing. That's why people don't want to come here. So he asked her, are you a Muslim? She said, yes. He said, what are you doing? She never came back. You want to see us doing what? So go somewhere. If you can't do anything on your own, why don't you go somewhere where people are doing something that you think is doing something? So my answer to the sister was, it doesn't matter what they see us doing. Life is going to kick their behind if they don't follow the guidance of Quran. Don't worry about what we do. It's what they're doing. They may be good people, but if you don't follow the guidance, life is going to kick your behind. So you don't want to pray? You don't have to pray. Life is going to kick your behind. Life, period. You're going to be looking to pray. Something is going to happen in your life that's going to make you want to call on Allah so that he will answer. Something bigger than you. Something greater than you. Something more important than you. Allahu Akbar. So don't give me them, you know, you can use excuses about what you ain't doing based on what other people are not doing or what they are doing that you don't like and you don't agree with that or whatever. You all shouldn't be doing this. Your number one interest in the masjid should be this. You do it. The late Imam Qasim Bakrideen, my predecessor, he used to say, you don't need the Imam's permission to do good. There's nobody stopping you. Nobody's stopping you from doing good. And you know, they used to come to Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Alale, brothers, sisters, and they say, Brother Imam, this is a good idea for us to do. We should be doing this, so and so and so. And the Imam told the sister, I agree with you. You're in charge. No, I didn't. Oh, but you want to tell us what to do. He said, you're in charge of it. You got the idea. You got the vision. You intelligent sister. You handle it. No. Oh, you don't want that. You just want to tell us what to do. You see? So Moving on. You see how this can be applied in more than one way? It is no fault on your part to enter houses not used for living in, which serve some other use for you. And Allah has knowledge of what you reveal and what you conceal. Say to the believing men that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty. That will make for greater purity for them, and Allah is well acquainted with all that they do. And tell the believing women, and say to the believing women that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty, that they should not display their beauty and ornaments except what must ordinarily appear thereof, that they should draw their veils over their bosoms and not display their beauty except, now we get into the private part, to their husbands, their fathers, their husbands' fathers, their sons, their husbands' sons, their brothers, or their brother's sons, or their sister's sons, or their women, or the slaves whom their right hands possess, or male servants free of physical needs, or small children who have no sense of the shame of sex, and that they should not strike their feet in order to draw attention to their hidden ornaments. And, O you believers, turn you all together towards Allah, that you may attain bliss. Marry those among you who are single or the virtuous ones among yourselves, male or female, if they are in poverty. Allah will give them means out of his grace, for Allah encompasses all and he knows all things. You see? So, it tells you who you are to display, the women and are to display themselves, their beauty, their hair, in private. So there's a public life and a private life. Is that right? In public, you don't walk around exposing yourself. No. Certain things you cover up in public. They're not to be shown. They're not to be shown in public. Okay? As it is in private. Now, we've already established that. Is that right? Yes. We've already established that there's a public life and a private life. Well, we're going to take it a little bit further. There's also things that you say in public that you don't say or in private that you don't say in public. Can we agree on that? And let me go a little bit further. There's things that you have in the privacy of your mind that you don't say in public or to other people. Do we see that? You don't say everything that's on your mind. You have a private mind too, your thoughts. Sometimes you got to keep your thoughts to yourself. You don't have to publicize it. And Imam Muhammad told us one time, he said, be kind to your family. And he was talking about giving the religion, teaching the religion. Only give them what they can handle. Aren't I kind to you? So the imam was saying, there's things that I can teach you that I know you ain't ready for. I know you're not ready for it. And I'll give you an example. And they spoke about it. We were down in the leadership meeting that we had this past weekend in Orlando, Florida. And they spoke about the Mujahideen. And it really wasn't one of us either. Or from our community, it was an African brother, African Muslim brother. And he said, the imam, he said, don't be afraid to call the imam the Mujahid. He said, there's people they call Mujahid that did a lot less than him. And they call him reviver of religion. Oh, they didn't want to give that type of title to the imam. The imam told us, don't use that anymore. If you think that I'm Mujahid, that's enough. but it's causing too much controversy. It's causing too much controversy. And he also taught us Bilalian. Bilalian. And he, it wasn't just for us, for the African-American community. They were talking about the Imam Hatim. He talked about the identity crisis that we have. He talked about the identity crisis, okay? And so the Imam tried to help us with that identity crisis that we're still going through, believe it or not. The Imam said, I've solved the identity crisis for me. I'm Abdullah, the servant of Allah, and that's fine for me. But there's people who are still so messed up in their identity that they don't or won't identify as human. No, they're B1. B first, black first. Huh? They're black first. But they ain't just black first. They're black only. So they can't commiserate, sympathize with the suffering of people, whether they be innocent people, any innocent people, and they say, well, we're not going to pick a side with the Israelis and the Palestinians because we want our reparations. That's all they talk about. Cut the check for us. They can't come out of that mindset. That mindset has got them messed up. They can't come out of it. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when they assassinated President John F. Kennedy, he told the ministers and Malcolm, don't make any public statements about it for 90 days. Things are very, very hot. Things are very, very sensitive right now. Very sensitive. These people love their president. If you say anything inflammatory, that's going to turn people against the nation. Malcolm didn't understand that wisdom. And many today, looked at that, and he did that. The Imam and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sat him down, and that caused a whole chain of events. Malcolm couldn't get it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't say it wasn't true when he said the chickens are coming home to roost. He didn't say that. He said, don't make no statement on it right now. There's Negroes today, and I chose my words carefully, that's the Elijah Muhammad was wrong. That proves that the real leader was Malcolm. Malcolm had the guts. Malcolm had the courage to speak out. That goes to show you that, look, they don't understand wisdom. They don't understand wisdom. They only understand emotion. And a lot of us are under emotion now. That's why Prophet Muhammad said, war is strategy. If you aren't capable of dealing with strategy and only living, reacting to your emotions, you need to sit yourself down and get out the war. You need to get out of it. And going on social media and talking a lot of stuff, you are in the war, whether you realize it or not. Well, I didn't find no gun. You're in the war. So you listen to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some very important announcements for you. So please, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, and we're back. So this is very, you know, all of these things are related. They're related, you know. So like I said, you have to have a public, you have a public persona and you have a public life, which is not to say, oh, you're a hypocrite. You're talking different. But who doesn't? Who talks the same way in public? You have a certain format that you follow when you give the khutbah. Is that right? The khutbah is given by the khatib. Right? The khatib gives the khutbah. And it's like it's a formal. It's supposed to be a formal presentation, a formal proposal, like a marriage proposal. Huh? Yeah, you don't just say, yeah, you know, I was walking down the street and, you know, I ran into a couple of brothers. Hey, what's happening, man? No, that's not how you give the khutbah. What's up, everybody? What's up? Assalamu alaikum, y'all. No, it's not given that way. You see? So you might talk that way to your friends. You might talk that way to your friends. Huh? In a private setting, at a party or a gathering or whatever. But you don't talk that way formally because the khutbah is considered two rakats of the prayer. Huh? On Friday, at the normal time that you would be making four rakats dhuhr, you make two rakats, but the other two is represented by the khutbah. So you just don't come out your mouth and say, I don't care if it's true or not. Do you think the President of the United States, when he goes before the cameras and the microphone, is saying what him and his cabinet said in private before they got ready to come out and discuss it? And is that what you think? But we have that's why they revere Khalid Abdul Muhammad so much. Even Minister Farrakhan, as radical as he can be in his speech, he had to curb Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And they didn't like, oh, Farrakhan is not a radical enough for you? That wasn't enough for them. But those people weren't there with Malcolm, and they weren't there with Khalid Abdul Muhammad either. But they got all opinions in the world. They like to run their mouth, but they wasn't there. Oh, I supported Elijah, but were you there? Anybody can talk about giving support after the fact. After the fact, you got all the smoke for everybody. But when you had a chance to do the work, you wasn't there. You were not there. We have to stop making these excuses and listen to people. Oh, they love Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And they think, oh, he's more real than Minister Farrakhan. I mean, you have to have some curbs on your tongue. You just can't say whatever you want to say or whatever pops in your mind. So if a brother introduced you to his wife and your first thought is, wow, she's not attractive at all. I don't know what he sees in her. Is that what you're going to blurt out your mouth? Or maybe the opposite thing. You think she's extremely attractive. Whoa, that's a nice-looking woman, boy. What is wrong with you all? You don't say everything that you think. And I've had people tell me that. I got to get Muslims. I got to get it off my chest. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you can control two things, I would guarantee you the paradise. He pointed to his tongue and to his private parts. Tongue will get you in trouble, man. That's why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, don't become angry. When you say angry, you will say, well, you know I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Too late. Public and private. So I see we have a call here, 281-528. State your name, where you're calling from, please. 281?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Ron Foster Sharif, Houston, Texas. I think what went down, the meeting that you guys had that you mentioned in Orlando, my question is concerning that since you brought it up. I understand that one of the things that was discussed was making the teachings of the imam a new methab, which I guess would be the fifth methab. So the first part of my question is, what do you anticipate will be the blowback or the pushback from the rest of the Muslim world when you do that, and how do you plan to deal with that? The second part of my question is that I heard it was discussed about this issue that's been going on for years of other communities coming into the African-American Muslim communities and taking over their masjids by manipulating the bylaws that are set up and taking advantage of loopholes in that. And next thing you know, I'm going to just use the word the immigrants. I don't like using that word because it's kind of loaded. But in this case, for me to express my question, what did y'all agree on how you going to stop the immigrants from taking masjids in our community?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I myself spoke on that, you know, because they wanted me. They only gave us 15 minutes, okay, which was nowhere near enough for me to talk about, and you know me, I take a few minutes just to get warmed up. But they gave us 15 minutes, for me, 15 minutes to discuss security. Now, like one of my favorite movies, The Firm, Gene Hackman is in charge of security for this big corporation, and he says, I'm not the night watchman. Meaning I'm not some old guy, retired cop, walking around with a whistle and a flashlight. That's me. I'm not the night watchman. Although security is my field, and I deal with security. Security is a much bigger topic than just how to walk your post in a perfect manner. If you're talking about walking your post in a perfect manner on a physical level. So I recounted to them how a brother that came up with my younger brother, he was one of their contemporaries, and I sort of raised him, but he went to prison, and he came back with that Salafia doctrine. So he joined our masjid, and but 2 years now, a sister called me and she said, you know, brother, ma'am, and she was in the church. She was a MGT, and she's up in age and everything, and she said, you know, I don't know how to say this, brother, ma'am, but I don't really know how to make my salat. So I said, well, I'm glad you mentioned it to me because I have been thinking about doing something about that because it just dawned on me that a lot of the brothers and sisters in our ranks really don't know their prayer. Okay, so I ordered all these books from Imam Darnell Kareem on Salat. I ordered Imam Vernon Farid's book Uniformity in Prayer, and I started a Zoom class on Sunday, a Salat class on Sundays at 11 a.m. And we've been doing it every Sunday going on 2 years. Oh, this has to be our second Ramadan. And so one of the brother that I asked to conduct the class, he called this young brother in to be his assistant. So he called me and he said, yeah, brother, man, I bought some books on prayer and things, you know. I spent $650 and I want to send you a book. I'd like for you to look it over. So I said, well, you know, I'll look it over. And I said, no, we can't accept this book. This is taking us in another direction. He said, why not? What's wrong with it? I spent $600. Well, I didn't tell you to spend $6. You made up your mind that you were going to spend $600. What am I supposed to do? I said, well, again, I didn't tell you to spend the $650. But out of sympathy for your, what I assume I'll say is good intentions, I would tell you that they're a reputable bookstore. You could, if they won't take the books back, you can give you a refund. You can exchange them for some other books, Quran or whatever, okay, so that you don't lose your money. So that's my point. We have to guard, we have to secure our community first and foremost from foreign ideas coming in, trying to take us in a different direction. That's also security. But a lot of these massaging in our association, Brother Ron, they were just taken over by damn near by force, by bringing people in and swelling the ranks and intimidating the people and then voting according to those bylaws that are not safeguarding us. The imam and vote theirs are in. They won't pull that with me. They're not going to come to my master with that because we also have physical security in place. That's not going to allow that to happen. Because we're not going to allow you to come there and stack up flyers and literature. No, if the imam didn't approve it, you just we won't allow it. So that's part of my answer for that. As far as the MAPAB is concerned, there's definitely going to be pushback. But the imam said, and it's funny that you said that because one of the brothers sent me a text, and his thing was, well, there was no MAPAB during the time of Prophet Muhammad, so it's and so he would say there shouldn't be any MAPABs. I was saying to him, the way MAPABs or schools of thought came into vogue is that after the death of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the community began to expand to different cultures, languages, regions, you see? This is how MAPAB or school of thought organically came to grow. So Imam Malik, you know, you'll find that most of Africa, you'll find his school in Africa. They adopt his school. And then you have the other MAPABs that people adopt, Hanbali, you know, Hanafi, different schools of thought. So Imam explained to us that in America, people would have culture shock. They wouldn't know how to deal with these circumstances that we have here in America. It only makes sense. It's not bidah. It's not innovation that we're bringing in. No, it's the approach to the religion that's based upon our place and time and our circumstances here we are in 21st century America. So I hope, I know there's more to it, but I hope that answers your question somewhat. All right. Anyone else? Brother Ron, you still there? Okay, I'll go to 914-434. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, I'm alaikum, Imam Ramadan. It's Muhammad Sharif. I'm in New York.
Well, alaikum salam. I hope that answered the question somewhat, Sharif.
Oh yeah, that was wrong. I don't know if he's still on or not. That answered this question.
Yeah. Well, what did you think about?
Oh, well, I've said this before. I said again. You know, the whole world knew about Imam Muhammad's leadership. They knew that the Imam did not follow, did not support the leadership. Matter of fact, he said in his resignation speech to ASM, when he resigned, unexpectedly resigned from them. And this is in print in the Muslim Journal, September 2004. The Imam said, most of the groups estimated 1,000 Imams nationwide refused to adopt mainstream religious thinking. As he said when he resigned, the estimated 1,000 Imams refused to accept mainstream religious thinking. And now, that's one thing. It's one other thing the man has said, that his number one priority was education. He gave this order. Some people have tried to turn the order around. He said, number one priority, education, business. What's the third? I can't see the third right now. Education, business. I know the last one was government. That's why, like the many leaders, many communities, immigrants, they say, taking over the Nazis. You know why? Because they know that the Imam basically didn't support his leadership. And that's why they come in and taking over the communities. Because Imam said, number one, education. We only got about 5-6 full-time schools in this whole community. We send our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to non-Islamic schools. So that's why they come in, taking over, because, and that's what I say, they deserve to be taken over. Now it's number one, their education. And they talking about masjids. We got people right now building masjids. And now it says schools, number one priority, all governments, all cities, all states, have schools, education first. And that's why they come in, taking them over. And I said, pray be to Allah. Just take them over. Take all these nastiers over until they establish some schools. So that did not comment on that, ma'am, Ramadan.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, you know I had a full-time school, right? You know we had a full-time school, right, in Queens. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Had a full-time school. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, things happened, and we weren't getting the support that we needed to keep the school open, for one thing. We're still not.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not getting the support. But we had, you had, that's right. So we did the best we could with what we got. You got to be able to pay the teachers. You understand? You said the people, was it the imam's children? It was just a bunch of imams sending their children to public schools, or was it just the regular believers, or just the imams? Was it the imam's fault that those believers sent their children to public school? What do you say about that, since the imams did everything wrong?
Yeah, I'm saying that because, like you said, we got people in this community got money. And now, you said we got people in this community got money, and they wouldn't support the school that you had. Going to Tom Homer School, they wouldn't support. People got big, big money. I mean, they got big jobs. We got people in this community, especially in the prison services. I mean, people make over $100,000 a year, some of them, and they wouldn't support the school. So rightfully so, let the school close down. You did your best that you could, but people with money wouldn't even support the school.
Right.
You did your best.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Always appreciate your point of view. We're coming to we have other important announcements for you. Right now, you're listening to Dave Fowler's Army in America, American Muslim 360 edition. Number one is on a radio station in the nation. And don't touch that dial.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations.
Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
All right, and we're back. 317-727. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes. Imam Yusuf, I called in on a landline, and I asked those two questions. And when the Messab question was getting ready to be answered, the phone kicked me out. I didn't hear what you said, and that's not the first time that happened. And then it wouldn't let me back in. I'm calling in now on a cell phone.
Okay. So basically what I said about the Messab, you know, yes, I think there would be pushback, you know, that's okay. You know, Messab or school of thought came into view when the community, which called Arabia, began to spread to different regions, different cultures, languages, circumstances, etc. That's how Messab began to develop. And we mentioned how Imam Malik is, his Messab or school of thought is mostly followed in Africa, you know, and the different other schools are followed in other parts of the world. So, you know, Imam Muhammad mentioned how, you know, the circumstances here in America are unique. And would not, you know, that those imams, the head of those schools, would be unfamiliar with the circumstances here in America. It's really not anything. It's not adding anything or subtracting anything from the religion, but it's the approach. It's the approach. So Imam Muhammad, for one small example, but maybe not that small, you know, he told us that we should dhikr as a community at the end of the prayer. All of us dhikr. He also advised that we say the al-fatiha at the end of the salat in order to reinforce as a dua, in order to teach it to those who don't know it. So many people will see us doing that, and they will have objections. That's not part of the prayer, brother. No, we said after we salam out, we dhikr together. And So we will have our own way of doing it. He said, you shouldn't go to a masjid in California and they call the Adan different than they do in New York or, you know, vice versa or anywhere in the country. There should be a uniform if you, we all claim to be part of the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I hope that explains a little bit better for you.
No. Really, okay. Both answers kind of leave a lot to be desired. I was trying to figure out what was the plan going forward to deal with those two questions. But I'll stop right there, brother. Thank you. That's what I'm like.
All right. Anyone else? Okay, 225-444. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Rashida Robinson, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, New Africa. Good morning. Brother Yusuf. I want to kind of make a comment on the brother that's calling, Brother Ron, I think. In my understanding, it's just I'm a woman. I'm an African-American woman. But most of all, I'm a Muslim believer. And you stated, you read earlier from the Quran about don't enter somebody's house unless you're invited, you know? You know, that's a lot to think of. If I don't invite you in my home, don't violate me. Don't come in. You know, the secular world has a saying about the vampire can't come in if you don't invite him. So you say, well, what does that mean? Well, if I have my home institutionalized the way I want to live in my culture and what I've been taught and what I believe for my family, I don't want somebody from the outside to come in and rearrange what I'm teaching my children, my husband teaching me and sharing with me to cultivate my family if they don't know my struggle. If they don't know our struggle, how are you going to come in and tell me how to live? So Imam Wardi Muhammad, he expressed that so beautifully to us, so profound. So impactful to us, how to live in this culture as African-American, even though we don't want to say African-American, we just want to say we love humans, we humans, humanity. Yes, but we are African-Americans. Some of us color folks are Negroes. I mean, you know, and I could go further in our behavior. But at the point of you letting somebody come in your masjid or your school and rearrange you, where is your leadership? Where is your faith? Where is your stand up? And where is your reach out? We have to reach out to each other. If I'm having a problem, I want to reach out to my brother and my sister, imam, you know, And we have to come together. And so I don't want to say a whole lot, but I'm not gonna let you come in my home and just take over. And I've been taught how to live in this society, in this world. And Imam Wardi Muhammad, you know, he said 80% of the imams didn't even, you know, come on. They weren't even in agreement with him. You know, they didn't even apply the knowledge, the wisdom. So we're still suffering a little bit of that, because if you have a masjid or a school and you're teaching other than what he's teaching, your community is doing the same thing because they only follow the leadership. So we have a lot of work to do within, but we have to stand strong. We have to be faithful in Allah and ask for guidance. We have to believe in the guidance. Allah is not going to, he's not going to lead you astray. So believe in the Quran. Believe in the teaching of Imam Wardi Muhammad. And just live. And let us come together. let's stay together and let's work through this and not be concerned about, these people got other problems. Over in Palestine, Afghanistan, they got other problems. We are not their problem. So let us stay together and fight through the little struggles. The Quran said there is ease with difficulty, Surah 94. So let us believe that, and let us stay together. We are family. We are community. And let's make Imam Wardi Muhammad proud. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Okay. Let's see. 504-488. State your name. Where are you calling from, please?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, remember that we are free thinkers. You know, we can stop talking like victims. And also, you know, let's stop all that what somebody done in the past stuff. That's how marriages fall apart, too. People keep bringing up what happened in the past. You know, you got imams, good imam now, and you had them then, and you just really don't take care of your business. Stop throwing that stuff up in imam's face. That's what Imam Muhammad said about the imams. You know, that's the past. Leave it there. Stop digging that stuff up. You know, so praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. All right. 718-749. State your name. Where are you calling from, please?
As-salamu alaykum. William Kareem calling from New York. If you don't know... If you don't know the, you're talking about the math out of Imam W.D. Muhammad, it's supposed to lead you to the math app of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's where it's supposed to lead you. But if you don't know that, if you don't know the life of Prophet Muhammad, if you don't know the Quran, if you don't know where Imam W.D. Muhammad was trying to lead us as far as that's concerned, then, you know, like you being a leader, or you being a follower of Imam W.D. Muhammad, I mean, it, you're going to be confused and you're not going to be able to make a contribution. I just would like to make this point, Brother Imam, that the sister mentioned something about if you're not invited in, then, you know, don't enter. Would that also mean if nobody's asked you your opinion, then you shouldn't give it?
I hadn't thought about it like that. But I guess, you know, they say what they say about opinions, everybody got one.
Right. And sometimes, but, you know, sometimes people give their opinion even though they're not asked.
This is true. This is true. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 321-917. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
Yes, Delacy Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Delacy Umar, Melbourne,
hey,
Florida.
Hey,
Salaam
alaikum.
Alaikum
as-salam. It was a pleasure meeting you, brother. It was a
pleasure
you beat
me
down in Florida.
You beat me to the punch. That's exactly why I was chiming in. Just wanted to acknowledge it was such a pleasure to see you in Orlando taking care of business. You know, and and enjoyed thoroughly the conference over there, where I was promoting my black seed oil business. You know, yes, sir. Thank you very much, ma'am, for a fine program, and always appreciate your comments, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Wa alaikum assalam. So we got about 1 minute. I don't see anybody else in the queue. Yeah, we have about 1 minute left. But we appreciate all of your questions and comments. You know, we try to answer as best we can. You know, sometimes you'll be satisfied with the answer, sometimes you won't. But you know, Imam Qasim Bakhreddin Rahimahullah Alayhi used to say, "People are like lemons. Some of them got a lot of juice. Some of them got a little bit." They come in and do what they can do and give to the community what they have, and that's it. But, you know, like I say, there's nobody stopping you. Nobody's stopping you from doing good.
all those people in our community that got so much money, let them build a school. They don't have to wait for us. They can go ahead and build a school. It don't have to be part of a master. They don't like what the community is doing. They can build a masjid, build a school. They can build a health care facility. They can do whatever they want to do with all that money they got. They don't have to wait for us. They don't need the imam's permission. The other thing Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is that the Muslims are like a body. When one part of the body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. So I don't like hearing this stuff about, you know, well, we have our own problem. Everybody has their own problem. Okay, the Palestinian brothers are our brothers and sisters in faith and children. If we don't speak out, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if you see a wrong, change it with your hand. If you can't change it with your hand, then use your tongue. Speak out against it. And if you can't speak out against it, at least hate it in your heart. And some say, and that's the weakest of faith. The imam said, no, you can't do the other two until you first hate it in your heart. How you going to change it with your hand until you hate it in your heart? How you going to speak out against it until you hate it in your heart? So we thank you for listening to New Day Father Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We pray that you have a blessed Juma. We thank you for listening. Please continue to support CWSC at AM 360 and the Muslim Journal. And stay safe, stay strong. Hold on to the rope of Allah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.